This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Restless in Seattle. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, May 2nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
May Day demonstrations turned chaotic in Seattle with rock and bottle throwing. There were injuries and arrests last night.
After a weekend of torrential rain, deadly flooding, and generally violent weather, the Southeast is bracing for more of the same today.
On the campaign trail ahead of tomorrow's primary in Indiana, meet the vigilantes who patrol Trump rallies.
And the new tech trend? More people buying flip phones all of a sudden. Wall Street Journal writer Jeffrey Fowler lived on one for a week.
For someone who is totally hooked in to apps and email, and it was pretty difficult. I had to sort of train my colleagues and friends and family. You know, you can't expect an immediate email answer from me. But then I'll tell you what happened. I actually had one of the loveliest weekends that I've had in a long time.
Jeff, on life without a smartphone for 7 whole days. He's here in about 20 minutes. 5 Seattle police officers have been injured, and there were at least 9 people arrested following demonstrations last night. Police say out-of-control demonstrators hurled projectiles and Molotov cocktails and broke windows. Protesters gather every year on May 1st to focus attention on labor and immigration issues, but demonstrators in cities across the country also use the occasion to rally against police violence. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray.
We're going to respect people's First Amendment rights, but when people attack and injure individuals or destroy property, the police will act.
The Seattle Times, by the way, reported that authorities used blast balls to disperse a crowd, throwing rocks and bottles and breaking windows in a downtown neighborhood. This after they used pepper spray several times to break up throngs of demonstrators. The unrest was similar to the violence at a Seattle May Day march last year, when crowds threw bottles and wrenches at police, who responded again with pepper spray and flash grenades. If you trust the polling, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is expected to cruise to easy primary victory tomorrow, while the Democratic race looks tight. Mr. Trump, the New York real estate developer, holds a 15-point lead in Indiana, according to the latest Wall Street Journal and NBC News poll. In addition, a majority of GOP voters disapprove of the effort by Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Ohio Governor John Kasich to coordinate a strategy to block him, an issue Mr. Trump has been bringing up on the campaign trail as of late, including yesterday in Indiana.
He's trying to hope that we don't get the votes to get to the 1237. But, you know, and that'll happen.
Mr. Trump is the first choice of 49% of likely GOP primary voters in the state, with 34% favoring Mr. Cruz.
If you're on the 30-yard line, it's not a touchdown. Donald right now is on the 30-yard line, and he wants everyone to say, hey, the game is over.
For his part, Mr. Kasich drew 13% support. Meanwhile, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton holds a narrow 4-point lead over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders among likely Democratic voters in the Hoosier state. Well, supporters of Mr. Trump have been assisting police and campaign security by pointing out anti-Trump protesters since at least January. But there are a couple of new groups at Trump events these days. One of them, a 30,000-member organization called Bikers for Trump, not only holds independent rallies for Mr. Trump, but also transforms into a volunteer security force. It's a story from Ben Schreckinger at Politico. Ben, explain what's going on.
So let's take Bikers for Trump, for example. Recently at a rally in Albany, New York, several dozen of them showed up. They formed a line, a protective barrier outside of the rally between protesters and people in line to get inside. I was with them in Harrisburg. There was a handful of them patrolling the floor of the arena on the lookout for protesters. When protests did erupt, they tore a couple signs out of the hands of protesters, stood by as law enforcement came and took these people out, and sort of followed right behind law enforcement And they say they sort of view themselves as plan B if things get out of control. If law enforcement can't handle the situation alone, they view themselves as the people who are going to step in and bring order.
Wow. All right. So when we talk about these chains they're forming or blockades, are they using their bikes or these guys are on foot or both?
They're on foot. They'll often ride together to the rallies. I've even seen some sidecars used. And then when they're actually performing these functions, they're just on foot.
What kind of rules do these guys have to operate under?
That's a great question. So their founder, Chris Cox, tells me that he enforces a strict code of conduct that includes nonviolence. That being said, he's also said that if someone hits a biker, they're certainly not going to back down, that they'll hit back, and that other bikers are going to show up in force on their behalf. So while there is this we won't strike first mentality, obviously in the heat of a scrum where there is a protest, where there are people around the protesters who aren't happy about it, where law enforcement is trying to get there, there seems to be the potential for violence to break out.
We're speaking with Ben Schreckinger, political reporter at Politico. He's got a piece entitled "Meet the Vigilantes Who Control Trump's Rallies." All right, so what about the risks here for these untrained vigilante groups, as you say in your story?
Sure. So I spoke to a gentleman who is the general counsel of an organization. It's an industry group for people who provide event security, and he said that there are legal risks for the Trump campaign if they're tolerating this, and all indications are that they are. The founder of Bikers for Trump says the campaign's aware of his activities. I saw the founder, Chris Cox, conferring with Trump's head of security, Keith Schiller. But according to this industry group, the campaign could be liable for negligence, for example, if they're permitting these guys to perform these security functions, and someone does get hurt at the hands of a biker at one of these rallies. So there's a risk to the campaign. Obviously, if violence breaks out, that's a risk to anyone that's in the general vicinity. And you already have this pretty volatile mix at Trump rallies where you have protesters trying to get in and make a scene. You have a candidate who often sort of whips up his crowd against the protesters. You have Trump supporters who aren't happy about it, and you have Trump's private security, local law enforcement, and Secret Service agents sort of all intermingling in this one space.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Schreckinger at Politico. 13 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Monday. Goodness, it's not over in parts of the Southeast, which are bracing for more possible flooding today. Torrential rains over the weekend were blamed for the drowning deaths of at least six people in Texas and dozens of water rescues in Louisiana and Arkansas. Renewed rains early Saturday triggered a flash flood in Palestine, Texas, about 170 miles north of Houston. Local police there say a woman and four of her great-grandchildren were killed. The kids were ages 6 through 9. Nate Smith is the town's communications officer.
We started getting a deluge of rain, about 7.5 inches in a 30-minute span, and that rain just swept through town.
Elsewhere, there were grapefruit-sized hail and tornadoes in Oklahoma, along with winds strong enough to damage two Boeing 737s at the airport in Austin, Texas. The storms have been fueled by a steady stream of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, and the threat remains until tomorrow. The mess this past weekend came just days after heavy rains in the Houston area left at least six people dead there in what local officials called the worst flooding to hit that city since Tropical Storm Allison back in 2001. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the presidential campaign is rumbling through Indiana with the candidates getting ready for tomorrow's primary. The front runners of both parties, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, are ready to fully engage in a one-on-one battle, but the underdogs are making it clear that they have no plans to quit. Bernie Sanders is holding on to the unlikely prospect that superdelegates now committed to Clinton will support him. John Kasich is still in, and Ted Cruz says he's going the distance. Puerto Rican Governor Padilla says his government will not be able to make a nearly $370 million in bond payments due today after failing to restructure or find a political solution to Puerto Rico's spiraling debt. Garcia says he's issued an executive order suspending payments on debt owed, which likely will prompt lawsuits from creditors. A historic church in New York City was destroyed in a raging fire just hours after its Orthodox worshippers celebrated Easter. The fire at the Serbian Orthodox Cathedral of St. Sava in Manhattan sent plumes of smoke billowing into the city skyline. New York Fire Commissioner Daniel Negro says the responders got there too late.
It was an advanced fire already involving the entire interior.
Authorities didn't disclose the cause of the fire, which completely destroyed the church's roof. Attorneys are tackling the complicated job of dividing up Prince's estate. The first hearing is scheduled today in probate court in suburban Minneapolis. Prince's sister filed papers last week saying Prince had no known will. And that means under Minnesota law, his estate would be divided among his surviving siblings. Prince's estate, of course, is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Playground concussions are on the rise. A new study from the CDC says of the 215,000 kids treated each year for playground injuries, almost 10% have traumatic brain injuries, including concussions. The monkey bars and swings are most often involved in concussion injuries. And the White House has announced that Malia Obama will enter Harvard in 2017 after taking a so-called gap year. Gap years are more common in Europe and Australia, but are becoming more popular in the U.S. The elder daughter of Barack and Michelle Obama has her sights set on becoming a filmmaker.
Pretty sure she'll have some contacts. Right?
She's already interned on a bunch of shows. So
how about that?
She's all set.
All right, good for her. Like the gap year. What do you do? I guess if you're a White House kid, I mean, you got to take a gap year. Got to enjoy the time.
I would love to have taken a gap year, wouldn't you? Travel?
Well,
I
would
and
have
do
heard a five-year gap.
Well,
would have,
yeah.
Would have run out of money in the first month, but would have been fun to try. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices on everything you need to promote your business, from business cards, brochures, and banners to pens, magnets, and calendars. Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples, make more happen. And well, go figure this. Americans are buying more flip phones and so-called candy bar phones these days. Wall Street Journal personal technology writer Jeffrey Fowler says, here's something the high-tech world doesn't readily admit. It's okay not to use a smartphone. He tried it recently, taking a trip through the not-too-distant past. Jeff, what happened?
For someone who is, you know, totally hooked in to apps and email and, you know, Snapchatting and you name it, it was pretty difficult. I had to sort of train my colleagues and friends and family. You know, you can't expect an immediate email answer from me or, you know, those iMessages won't go through anymore. But then I'll tell you what happened. I actually had one of the loveliest weekends that I've had in a long time. There was nothing in my pocket that was sort of jiggling and buzzing, making me wonder, you know, gosh, what am I missing out on? There was no FOMO, as the millennials like to say, no fear of missing out. It was just, you know, me able to enjoy the world around me. And you know what? I actually finished a whole issue of The New Yorker this week.
So, is it difficult to find one of these things?
Well, it should be easier than it is, given how many Americans buy these things. According to research firm IDC, there were about 24.2 million feature phones, as they call them, that's the flip and the candy bar style ones, that sold in the U.S. last year, which is actually 2 million more than the year before it. But if you go into, you know, any of the major carriers, your Verizons, your AT&Ts, you'll still see maybe four or five that you can usually pick up in the store. And so I tested those, as well as some sort of more specialty ones designed for things like, you know, being rugged or sitting in your car for emergencies or just being super designed and chic. Also check some of those out.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal personal technology writer Jeffrey Fowler. His piece is called It's Okay Not to Use a Smartphone. Why do you suppose the sales are up for those the so-called dumb phones?
Well, I think there have been some assumptions that the smartphone industry has made that in the long term aren't really going to pan out. I think the assumption is that all devices that we use to communicate with people should sort of look alike. They should all try to do everything. You know, they should all be those glass and plastic or metal slabs with a screen on the front and a camera on the back. And, you know, they should try to do everything. But I think what this kind of one in seven market is showing us is that sometimes less is more. And there are people and situations who don't want everything. I mean, think about the e-reader market, right? We've had the iPad now for, 5 years? And yet there is still a thriving, arguably growing niche for the Kindle, right? Which is just a simple, e-reader experience. I think what we're going to find is the same thing in smartphones. And in fact, some of these devices I tried are really designed to almost be the Kindle of communication. You know, just what you need for when you're getting around.
Thanks, Jeff. It's Wall Street Journal personal technology writer Jeffrey Fowler. How about that? A whole week on a flip phone. I think the prep time for it would probably take more than a week, right? Alerting friends and family that you're making this switch. Don't text me, all that stuff. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy, anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They'll even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in DEAL. That's Stamps.com and enter the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Monday, May 2nd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Violent demonstrations in Seattle. More flooding on tap for an already soaked southeast. Trump holds a big lead. Clinton a small one ahead of Indiana's primary tomorrow. At least 43 Detroit schools closed today thanks to a teacher's sick out. Commuters in D.C. need alternate routes after a freight train derailed. 72-year-old man pulled from the rubble of that earthquake in Ecuador after nearly 2 weeks. And the first European player selected in the NFL draft. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you're looking to take your business to the top, turn to the state that's doing the same, Michigan. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org. Might be time to start dialing back the criticisms of the millennials. It appears the largest generation is growing up. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says they buy homes, they purchase cars, they take vacations. The millennials, it turns out, are pretty much like every other generation of the last 70 years. And he says that's a good thing because we need them. Rick set this up.
Millennials are now sort of the most important generation. They're the young members of the workforce, obviously. And we're finally seeing the signs that they are starting to make big purchases and hit all the milestones that prior generations did. And that's been a worry because they got a later start on account of the recession. And there were some economists for a while who were concerned that everything about the millennials was going to be different. Well, it turns out it's looking like it's not so different after all.
All right, so they are going to be like other generations before them, for example, with their big purchases like homes?
Yeah. In fact, we're seeing a lot of evidence now that that this younger generation is going out and making the big purchases just as other groups did before them. So millennials now account for the largest share of home purchases of any generation. That is surprising to a lot of people. They account for about 35% of all home sales. So if you thought younger workers found it impossible to move out of their parents' homes, save some money, and be able to put down a deposit on a house and get approved for a mortgage, that's not true. Lots of young people are buying homes, and for the most part, they're buying in suburbs and small towns and rural areas, not in urban areas. So, you know, that's sort of what we're our customer thinking people are supposed to do is they get married and settle down and have kids and raise families, and it's actually happening.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. His piece is called "The Millennials Are Coming to Save America." What about the knock on them, Rick, that they're largely an entitled group or a group that feels entitled? Are they maybe maturing out of that?
Maybe. There are definitely cultural differences among all generations, I think you could go back in time and say that there certainly were moments when the baby boomers seemed very entitled compared to their parents, the so-called silent generation. The baby boomers are really the ones who became known as very materialistic, cared a lot about status and bling, spent tons of money. And, for all the criticism of younger people these days, I mean, it is worth keeping in mind that the huge recession that began in 2007 and led to the financial crisis in 2008 was not caused by millennials. That was caused mostly by baby boomers and the generation after them, so-called Generation X, taking out too much debt. I mean, and saving practically no money. I mean, just overindulging in everything, most importantly on mortgages they could not afford. So that was not the millennials' fault, although they suffered the consequences of it perhaps worse than other age groups because they graduated from school into a terrible job market. So that apparently, that may even have taught younger workers better financial habits. They seem more inclined to save money and less interested in spending money, for example. So we may finally be seeing better habits in terms of managing money, thriftiness, less inclined to just spend everything you had, and not such big fans of debt.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, 21 minutes before the hour on this morning, America's First News. Coming up next, if John Kasich isn't president, there's another line of work that may be tempting for him. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we have some good news about the brawling Easter Bunny. You might remember the story that had people talking in March about a New Jersey mall Easter Bunny who got into a scuffle with a father and was charged with aggravated assault, with the entire thing being caught on video, of course. According to NJ.com, a judge last week downgraded the charge against Kasim Charles to simple assault. Authorities say the father attacked Charles when his toddler daughter slipped from a chair while getting her photo taken. No word on whether the charges against the father will stand or be reduced. Charles' defense attorney says he looks forward to vindicating the bunny.
I see.
Now, I mean, it seems, obviously the father was very upset here, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, and I'm not a legal expert here, but it seems like that the father's the one who did the attacking in this situation. This guy was just kind of defending himself.
Yeah.
That's what it appears. And you don't know, and again, the video is from far away. You don't know if maybe there were some words exchanged that sort of instigated it.
Yeah.
But that's what it seems like. So it seems like the bunny should be somewhat vindicated here, I would think.
Right.
Again, unless he did something, unless he pushed the toddler off of, you know,
if
it was, obviously, if it was an honest mistake or the daughter just fell somehow, as toddlers tend to do sometimes, you know, if there was no fault of his for the toddler actually falling, then, you know, he should be vindicated, you would think.
From a junior therapist's standpoint, I'm wondering how the children who witnessed event are now dealing with Easter bunnies.
Yeah, that's what we all thought about that. I mean, an entire mall full of people saw the Easter bunny brawling with this guy. So
what about the dad here, mm-hmm. like kind of having to admit that he got
beat up by a bunny. That's just another thing that's just not right about this story.
That was, a bad day for him turned worse at that point.
Attack of the Easter Bunny.
And meet John Kasich, wingman Gordon, after participating in a town hall style meeting Friday in San Francisco. The Ohio governor and long-shot Republican presidential candidate assisted Julia Kahn, a local high school student, while asking her friend to the prom via cell phone video.
Hey, Nico, it would be Kasich if you would go to the prom with Julia.
Apparently, it worked.
Kasich.
It would be Kasich if you went to the prom with Julia. Julia tweeted later in the day that Nico said yes to the governor's promposal. Despite his matchmaking ability, ABC News reports that Julia and her date aren't backing Kasich. They're both Hillary Clinton fans. But she does have a lot of respect for Kasich and the fact that he took questions from audience members during his Friday event. I mean, she actually took the time to go to the event, too, which is, that's something.
Okay.
Shows that she's at least, open to all ideas. Kasich isn't holding that against Julia and Nico and told them on Twitter to have an awesome time.
That's Kasich.
Kasich.
What a great story.
And another way to emphasize the right way to say his last name, because people tend to, and I've done it myself, say Kasich instead of Kasich. Right. So that's a way to emphasize that as well.
That is funny. I was going to say, don't worry about it, Mr. Kasich. These are teenagers in high school. Mm-hmm. Although they support Hillary, it doesn't mean they'll make an effort to get out and vote.
Right. Well,
right.
Again,
however, as you point out, they did attend an event.
Right.
So apparently they are politically involved.
They're active. Although they are 17 currently at the moment. I'm not exactly sure when their 18th birthday is.
Mm.
Seniors, maybe they'll be 18 by election day.
Okay. Very good. Good story. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like being a top 10 pro-business state, or 2,000, the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years, and 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org. To learn more, here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business 4 times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside.
Thanks for being with us. Can caffeine stimulate hair growth? Some shampoos and lotions contain caffeine and promise to help keep hair thick and full. How does the evidence stack up? Studies seem to show just a modest effect. Androgenetic alopecia, which can affect both men and women, is hair loss caused as testosterone shortens the hair follicle's growth cycle, resulting in shorter, finer hair. But researchers found that small concentrations of caffeine applied to hair follicles counteracted the effects of testosterone, stimulating hair growth. The study found that caffeine also had a beneficial effect on female hair growth, but only when used in an even more diluted form than for male follicles. Another study found that if not diluted, caffeine can overstimulate hair follicles, actually suppressing hair growth. 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, 5 Seattle police officers have been injured and at least 9 people arrested after unruly demonstrators hurled projectiles and Molotov cocktails and broke windows. Protesters gather every year on May 1st to focus attention on labor and immigration issues, but demonstrators in some cities also use the occasion to rally against police violence. Seattle Police Chief Kathleen O'Toole.
We want people to be able to express their First Amendment rights, and we want them to be safe. We want the police to be safe, and we want innocent bystanders to be safe.
Mayor Ed Murray blamed the senseless violence on a different crowd from those who had attended an earlier peaceful May Day immigration march. Jamaican police say 2 U.S. missionaries have been found murdered in a rural area of the Caribbean island that has long struggled with high rates of violent crime. The men were missionaries who lived and worked in Jamaica for a Pennsylvania-based religious organization called Teams for Medical Missions. There have been no arrests, and investigators made no comment about a possible motive. Former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky continues his fight to prove that he was wrongly convicted of sexually abusing 10 boys. Sandusky is scheduled to appear in a Pennsylvania court today for a hearing in which he can present evidence to support his claim. The 72-year-old is serving a 39 to 60-year sentence. A U.S. cruise ship is on its way to Cuba, the first such trip in more than 50 years. The Adani, operated by Carnival Cruise, sailed from Miami, carrying some 700 passengers, and is due to arrive in Havana today. And it wasn't quite the jazz festival concertgoers were hoping for after numerous acts were forced to cancel their New Orleans performances over the weekend because of downpours. After Stevie Wonder's show was canceled, he went on the empty stage and sang Purple Rain through a megaphone to the diehards. Snoop Dogg and Beck were also canceled because of rain, while other acts had to cut their sets short. But of course, some in the crowd had fun anyway, dancing around barefoot in the mud.
Nice. Making the best of a bad situation, I guess.
Yes, unfortunate.
Stevie Wonder on an empty stage.
With a megaphone.
With a megaphone.
I'd pay for that.
Singing Purple Rain. I'm with you. Good for him. What a class act. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Vikings have made a 22-year-old wide receiver from Germany the first player in NFL history to be drafted straight from Europe. Moritz Boehringer was taken in the sixth round Saturday with the 180th overall selection. CBS Sports says the 6'4", 229-pound Boehringer put on a head-turning performance in March at a pro workout day, running the 40-yard dash in 4.43 seconds. Only three wide receivers at the scouting combine in February ran faster than that. Boehringer didn't pick up the sport until about 5 years ago when he was inspired by YouTube videos of Adrian Peterson highlights with the Vikings. The former soccer player joined a junior youth team in 2013. He debuted in the top-level German Football League last year, 16 touchdown catches with an average of about 21 yards per in 21 games for the Schwäbisch Hall Unicorns, winning the Rookie of the Year award. He's been working out in Boca Raton, Florida for several months to get ready for the draft. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.